This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
The world's biggest election starts today and takes 5 weeks to complete.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. The first set of voters in India goes to the polls today to elect a new parliament. The BBC's Calcutta-based correspondent Rahul Tandon has been running across that country trying to get his arms around the vast process. Morning, Rahul.
Good morning to you, David.
It's arguably the world's largest election and therefore quite an expensive process.
It's not arguably. It is. I mean, look at the figures here. They are incredible. 814.5 million people eligible to vote. 11 million people employed to make sure that this poll that lasts over 6 weeks goes off without too many hitches. 1.4 million electoral machines there to register all those votes. Democracy in India, you're right, it's an expensive business.
Now, voters are going to be focused on economic issues in part. Tell me about some of the key concerns.
I think the biggest concerns, and I've been in urban India, cities like Calcutta and others, and also right out into the rural areas, it's inflation. It's price rises for many people. Staple products for Indians have just rocketed up in price. Also, for many youngsters at the moment, it's unemployment. Lots of people coming out of universities now finding it very, very hard to get jobs and development. And I think whichever part of society you're in, you want to see that growth rate that was at 8-9% back up there at the moment because it's going down, down, down to 4. So I think people want the economy back on track, more jobs, cheaper prices.
The BBC's Rahul Tandon in Calcutta. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
Rahul was also telling me that a new wave of foreign investment is expected to come to India once the election is concluded. This is regardless of whether especially business-friendly Narendra Modi does well or if the venerable Congress Party comes out on top again. It's the first full week of the new accounting quarter here, and in the coming days, we'll be able to see profits and losses for some of the biggest banks in the U.S., including J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler has been looking at some forecasts.
It's not like the big banks are doing all that poorly, but the last quarter just wasn't something to get too excited about.
I expect that earnings are going to be fairly lackluster.
Nancy Bush runs NAB Research, which analyzes the banking industry.
This does not imply that we're back to 2007. It's just that earnings have stopped going up on a year-over-year basis.
Not all banks performed equally. Wells Fargo is expected to post better results than its rivals, says Morningstar analyst Jim Sinegal.
The banks that are sticking to the bread and butter of borrowing and lending should be doing the best, and the banks that are a little more involved in Wall Street-type activities will be doing worse.
Some analysts anticipate a bump in economic activity this spring with an increase in home and car sales. That could boost the bottom line at banks in the months ahead. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
We have some numbers to check here. We're coming off that terrible day for the NASDAQ, which lost 2.6% on Friday amid a wave of skepticism about technology stocks. NASDAQ, S&P, and Dow futures are down again this morning. The Nikkei in Japan fell 1.7%. That's been a very volatile index in the last year, but stocks in tech companies took a beating in Japan as well today. London's FT100 is down 0.6%. And now a lesson about branding from the world of art. From time to time, we bring in Blake Gopnik to examine this intersection of art and commerce. He's critic at large for artinfo.com and contributes to the New York Times. Blake, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you have been researching the provenance not of a painting, but of a famous line. What is it?
The line is something like, in the future, everyone will be world famous for 15 minutes.
Now, that, of course, is Marshall McLuhan. It's not Marshall McLuhan. Everybody knows it's Andy Warhol.
Unless it isn't. In this crazy research I've been doing, it turns out that there's a pretty good chance that Andy Warhol never said his most famous line, or maybe that he did. In 1968, it looks as though a famous curator called Pontus Holten actually came up with the line. There are a bunch of people who claim that they said it, a photographer called Nat Finkelstein, Larry Rivers, the painter, Philip Perlstein. Andy Warhol's oldest friend may have said it to Andy Warhol in 1946, the first time they ever met.
No, I was looking at your notes. In 1979, Warhol himself says, yeah, it was my line.
But in 1980, he says, I never said it. So, I mean, this is typically Warholian. The more you look at it, the more you realize that what this is about is a kind of snowball of secondhand quotes. It's all about how something gets attached to a particular brand. And by the 70s, Warhol was about creating this brand called Warhol, which is perfect for an artist whose paintings even were all about branding and commerce and marketing.
So this kind of branding, not a new phenomenon.
No, not at all. In fact, you could argue that Rembrandt was Mr. Brand, right? He had this workshop full of assistants turning things out with the Rembrandt name attached to them. But what's special about Warhol is I think he predicts a 21st century model of branding. In this day and age, brands depend on what we think they are to figure out what they are. They look at what we say on Facebook. They look at what we say on Twitter. They try to figure out what we think the brand is and then feed it back to us. And that's what's so great about this quote from Warhol, is that we've decided it's by Warhol whether he likes it or not. We've created, and are continuing to create, the Warhol brand for ourselves.
Critic Blake Gopnik is at work on a new comprehensive biography of Andy Warhol. Blake, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
And in a bit, we'll have links to Gopnik's research on the 15 Minutes of Fame line at marketplace.org. And a co-founder of Microsoft is investing $40 million in online voting. Paul Allen is sending some venture capital toward an internet voting company based in Spain called Cytl. That's S-C-Y-T-L. This appears to be a bet that democracy and smartphones will increasingly mix. Among the concerns that have held the technology back, if hackers could get into your cards at Target, maybe they might also get into your election results. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.